They say a problem shared is a problem solved.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would definitely agree with that. So sometimes we don't seek help, though, right? Mm-hmm. We continue to, like, isolate ourselves with those problems, or we feel embarrassed or shy. I think you should not feel that way. You should be able to talk to someone, take someone into confidence. Mm-hmm. Because what happens if you don't take help from someone who's stronger than you? You let out your problems on people that are weaker than you, yeah. right? So, like, you don't want to do that, right?
You know, sometimes the problem gets to have an ongoing span of time. Like, it's a long time, not 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. It's going to be a sort of a... You would feel like it's long-lasting, and in this world, worldly speaking, it would get some years for it to finish, like the problem that you're suffering right. from. So what should I do in those situations? How to boost my own morals and tell myself, yeah. okay, stay strong and be hopeful, everything is going to move on.
Another thing that has really helped me in these kinds of situations has been religion. You know, reading the Islamic texts and the ideas that are given to us from prophet and imams, yeah. they can also really help. Like, they were there for us. They have even predicted yeah. the problems that may occur right now to us. And
the idea that you're not alone
yeah, exactly.
is very important.
And that really helps us. Yeah. Like, there's a quote from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he has mentioned, no fatigue, nor disease, nor anxiety, nor sadness, nor hurt, nor disease befalls a Muslim, even if it were the prick he receives from a thorn, but that Allah expiates some of his sins for that. Like, God is seeing us even in the worst situations that we are tied in.
Yeah.
This can really help us. This meaning that we can get from God, this message of Allah, can really help us.
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me of another very beautiful tradition of the Prophet, which I recently heard. You know, he was passing by on the street and there was someone who was disabled. Like, I don't know, maybe they didn't have their legs or hands or something. And, you know, he said he started complaining to the Prophet, you know, like, why did God create me in this manner? Like, why am I this way? And first the Prophet sort of tried to, you know, soothe him and make him feel better. But, like, he wouldn't have it, right? He just continued complaining. So then at that point, the Prophet said to him, do you think that God doesn't see you? You know, do you think he's not seeing your situation? And then he said, you know, they say then he opened his eyes, like, to the next realm, to the unseen realm, and showed him his position in there, you know, in Barzakh and in heaven. And then he said, you know, I can have your, like, health restored if you want, but then you'll have to give up all of this. He says, you know, now you get to choose. At that point, he said, no, I'm fine in this situation. Yeah. You know, when he saw the realities. So religion and God, you know, those help us stay in touch with reality, right? When we're in touch with reality, those things then help us in those difficult situations. When we're away from God, when we're disconnected from, you know, our own spirituality,
yeah.
those are times when we struggle the most.
And then in those moments, the problem seems to be bigger.
But that's exactly why we're having those problems, by the way. You know, God's saying, I'm sending you problems so that you call upon me, that you come towards me, right?
Yeah.
Many times, those trials are there for us to come towards God and reestablish a lost connection.
To wake up.
Yeah, to wake up.
Yeah, to redefine everything for yourself.
That is the sweet recognition of his presence.
Like, exactly.
God is here and is beside me.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Well, one thing I just want to add is that I remember going through a really, like, huge crisis in my life once. And, you know, I was really complaining to God, like, why is this happening to me and all that. But after I got through that crisis, I realized how much better and stronger I came out of it, right? So I was thankful to God for having gone through that. Like, I literally called it, like, my day of judgment, you know?
So, Sister Nahid, your final words?
I really believe that the fact that we have God and we have the imams and prophets besides us, and the fact that they are looking at us can really help, besides their guidance. Like, they are both helping us and they are watching us. So there will be no reasons for just feeling alone.
Yeah, There's another point, like going to mosques or going to holy shrines is one of the things that would increase your power and strength. Like when now, thank to God, we have to now thank God we have this opportunity to leave in a city in which we have a holy shrine of Sayyida Masuma Salamullah Alayha, and this is really helpful.
That like place whenever is like there's a
Whenever there is a problem, just as we go there, it's as if you put everything behind yourself. And when you come out, you feel like you are different. Yeah. Like it's a rebirth. Like this problem is going to be a renaissance in your life.
During my crisis management class, you know, my teacher, who's a top psychologist here in Iran, his like view is that the only thing that that can really cure or help through crisis is spirituality. That's based off on his own research, you know, and his own experience. So he said, otherwise, you can't get through crisis.
Exactly. I always say to myself as well that if there was no connection between me and Allah, then things would have, of course, been different. Yeah. And I guess it's the same for all the human beings. So thank you, dear listeners. This was all for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
Ayahs, 30 days. The Almighty, upon creation of the world, determined the night of Qadr, or the night of ordainment. The night of Qadr is the time when all affairs of one year are determined or ordained. These affairs are ordained through the angels, who are sent down by God to the perfect man of every time. The perfect men, for sure, have been the prophets who succeeded one after another to take over the waiting mission of inviting and guiding people to the way of Allah. However, people were informed of this blessed night only by the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. That's why Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, said, Allah presented the night of Qadr to my Ummah. Tonight is the first night of Qadr. Stay with us for a special feature in this regard. This is indeed the 18th episode of our Ramadan special series. The night of Qadr, also known as the night of power or the night of ordainment, is a very strange night. One of the surahs of the Holy Quran is called Surah Qadr. It reads, Indeed, we sent the Quran down on the night of Qadr. What will show you what is the night of Qadr? The night of Qadr is better than 1,000 nights. In it, the angels and the spirit descend by the leave of their Lord, with every command. It is peaceful until the rising of the dawn. The Almighty God reveals in other ayahs that the night of Qadr falls on the blessed month of Ramadan. In ayah 185 of Surah Baqarah, we read, the month of Ramadan is the one in which the Quran was sent down as guidance to mankind. So let those of you who witness it fast in it. According to a hadith, the books of Prophets Noah, Abraham, and the Torah of Prophet Moses, and the Evangel of Prophet Jesus were revealed in Ramadan because it is the noblest of months. And the noblest time in this month is the night of Qadr. The Holy Quran too was revealed to the Holy Prophet's heart on this night. Ramadan is the time of sublimity of human spirit. This sublimity will not be attained except through jihad against carnal desires. Once a number of Muslims returned from jihad, armed combat with enemies, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, told them, "Well done to the group who has passed the minor jihad and the greater jihad remains for them." They asked about the greater jihad, to which the Holy Prophet answered, "It means jihad or struggle against the self or carnal desires." The struggle against carnal desires of the self is much harder than fighting the outward visible enemy. Human beings sometimes consider evil desires as their own desires, while in fact they distance us from the essence of humanity. As long as these desires dominate us, our humanity is like a captive and a slave, who has no chance for growth and sublimity. Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, was the best servant of Allah, whose heart was the place of reception of the Holy Quran. The greatest value for the night of Qadr, or the night of power, or the night of ordainment, is the sending down of the Holy Quran. Since the beginning of creation, this night has been the time of ordainment and measurement of every affair for the following year. These affairs depend on our deeds in the previous year. The point to note is that our fate for the next year is not clear to us. But there is one person in every night of Qadr who is aware of the fate of whole people and whatever is going to take place in the world. He is Allah's representative on planet Earth. He is the man to whom the angels and the spirit come down and inform him of whatsoever is going to happen to the entire universe in the coming year. Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him, has narrated that the Holy Prophet was several times asked on the cause of this, crying after reciting of Surah Qadr. The Holy Prophet would answer, "I cry for what I have seen with my eyes and understand with my heart, for what Ali's heart will receive after me." Then he took Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib's head in his lap and said, "Know that the man to whom the command is sent down after me is this man." According to the evidence, the Holy Prophet meant that he had been informed of what would befall Imam Ali on the night of Qadr in future, which would lead to his martyrdom. The loyal companion of the Holy Prophet, Abu Zar Ghaffari, asked him if the night of Qadr was exclusively related to the time of the prophets, or it would continue, to which the Prophet answered, "The night of Qadr remains until the Day of Judgment." The night of Qadr, or the night of power, or the night of ordainment, is repeated every year. So there should be a representative for God in every year. Otherwise, to whom will the angels and the spirit descend? To whom will they give the command, affairs and fate of every creature? The commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, said, "The night of Qadr exists in every year. On this night, the affairs of the whole year and the fates are sent down. After the passing away of the Holy Prophet, I and my 11 children are the owners of this night." The 11th descendant of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, is Imam Mahdi. May God expedite his reappearance. He is the vicegerent of Allah on earth. He is the owner of the night of Qadr. Thus, the angels and the spirit descend to him every year to present to him the affairs of every year. So, we raise our hands and pray for his health and reappearance on this blessed night of Qadr.
Voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The 8-year defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
Arash, located in the north of the Persian Gulf in Bushehr province, is a gas and oil field jointly owned by Iran and Kuwait. Over the past 60 years, both countries have acknowledged each other's rights to a share of the significant resources in the field. Surprisingly enough, the Supreme Council of the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council has recently issued a statement claiming that only Kuwait and Saudi Arabia have sovereign rights over the field, raising Tehran ire. The Islamic Republic of Iran has reiterated that it cannot stand any violation of its national sovereignty and territorial integrity. It's just another tension underway in West Asia. What's the significance of Arash gas and oil field? What is Kuwait's position? What is Tehran's position? Why is Saudi Arabia engaged in this dispute out of the blue? Has there been any attempt to reach a deal? And if yes, why hasn't it borne any fruit? These and more on this edition of Iran Today. The offshore field known as Arash in Iran and Doreh in Kuwait has long been a source of contention between these two countries, grabbing headlines from time to time. فرزین سوادکوهی است an energy journalist based in Tehran.
به نظر اومد که میدان مهمی میتونه باشه به لحاظ اقتصادی برای ما.
The Arash field with its significant potential benefits for Iran, Kuwait and Saudi Arabia has yet to be developed due to various factors. Following the Islamic Revolution's victory, Iran attempted to initiate the development process. However, unforeseen circumstances continually halted progress. One of the primary obstacles was the ongoing disagreement regarding the field's ownership, which further complicated the project's advancement.
The Iranian Ministry of Foreign Affairs has given a protest note to Kuwait's ambassador to Tehran over the country's one-sided statements on the Arash natural gas field, which Iran shares with its southwestern neighbor. Mohammad Ali Beik, an assistant to Iran's foreign minister and the head of the ministry's Persian Gulf department, said, making one-sided claims in various statements and through media undoubtedly cannot be a step forward to resolve the issue and will not establish any rights for the party uttering such assertions. We also talked to Mohammad Sadegh Mehrjoo, a senior energy expert. Mr. Mehrjoo had more to say about the history of Arash and the dispute around it.
What is the Kuwaiti-Iranian dispute over the Arash gas field?
The Arash field was initially discovered in 1967 as an exploration block designated for petroleum exploration. Arash, a joint exploration block, is situated close to the Esfandiar field, which is shared among Iran, Kuwait, and Saudi Arabia. It lies approximately 10 kilometers away from the Abu Zar and Surush fields. The ongoing dispute revolves around border claims. Using the 1982 Law of the Sea Convention, LOSC, in its argument, Kuwait asserts full ownership of the field. Conversely, we contend that a border was established prior to the Islamic Revolution, entitling us to at least 30% of the field. However, Kuwait disagrees and continues to make statements opposing our claim.
Tehran has frequently proclaimed that a cooperative and respectful environment, rather than one-sided assertions, could lead to an agreement on the matter. Otherwise, the region has to prepare itself for yet another unnecessary tension.
What is Iran's position?
I believe that Tehran has taken a rational approach so far. The Iranian Minister of Foreign Affairs has maintained an open door to diplomacy. Tehran has consistently advocated for negotiations to achieve a peaceful resolution that benefits both parties.
The dispute over Arash dates back to the 1960s when Iran and Kuwait were granted overlapping offshore concessions for the field, which has been called a treasure under the sea.
Mr. Hamid Reza Salehi is the Director General of Federation of Iranian Energy Export Industries.
As you know, Iran has numerous shared fields with neighboring countries in the region. The largest joint field is with Qatar, known as South Pars, which significantly contributes to the country's gas production. There are several oil and gas fields that are shared with our neighboring countries. Among these fields is Arash, which has been a subject of dispute. As a member of the private sector, we'd like to invest in the field for future generations, albeit in a peaceful cooperation with the rest of the region.
Iran assigned rights to the Anglo-Iranian oil company while Kuwait gave its share to Royal Dutch Shell, leading to overlapping claims in the northern part of the reservoir. The two concessions overlap in the northern part of the field. According to Reuters, the Arash field reserves are estimated at 1 trillion cubic feet of natural gas, of which 200 billion cubic feet are likely to be extracted immediately, in addition to over 310 million barrels of oil. These figures are of significant importance to the Kuwaiti side, as considering Kuwait's natural gas reserves, which do not exceed 35 trillion cubic meters, the hydrocarbon value of the field could increase Kuwait's reserves by 30%. Mr. Hamid Hosseini is a senior energy expert and chief executive of the monthly Dunyaye Enerji, or the World of Energy.
What is the significance of the Arash field?
The Arash field holds approximately 570 billion cubic meters of gas and contains nearly 310 million barrels of oil, making it a valuable resource. For countries like Kuwait and Saudi Arabia, which have few, if any, gas fields, the Arash field holds even greater significance, as they rely on gas imports for their domestic needs, refineries, and other purposes. They have a vested interest in accessing the Arash field's resources as soon as possible. That is while Iran is not in a rush, as it has an abundance of gas fields within its territory.
As for Iran, nearly 40% of Arash field is located in Iranian waters. In 2001, the National Iranian Oil Company drilled an exploratory well to determine the amounts of its reserves. Kuwait then threatened to take the issue to international arbitration, and following the Kuwaiti emir's visit to Tehran during the Khatami administration, Tehran stopped exploration and removed the platform built at the site. Mr. Hosseini added that for Iran, having good relationships with neighbors is very important, and the country is not happy to escalate tensions in the region for energy.
Iran was the first country in the region to drill the first oil well. Iran was also the pioneer in conducting marine explorations to discover oil and gas fields in the region. The Arash oil field was founded in the 1960s by a Japanese company working under the commission of the National Iranian Oil Company. Prior to the Islamic Revolution, Iran had discovered the field and chosen the name Arash for it. Today, Iran shares nearly 30 joint oil and gas fields with countries like Qatar, the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, and Iraq. The Arash field is just one example. The South Pars gas field, the largest in the world, is shared with Qatar, and despite its significant size, representing over 15% of the world's gas reserves, Iran has accepted Qatar's two-thirds ownership. This demonstrates Iran's honesty and commitment to maintaining good relations with its neighbors. In fact, maintaining positive relationships with neighboring countries has always been a priority for Iran.
Iran's drilling and then its decision to halt it, in fact, came a year after Saudi Arabia and Kuwait had jointly started exploration and development activities on the field without Tehran's knowledge. In 2016, Iranian media reported that Saudi Arabia and Kuwait had formed the Al-Khafji joint operations to develop the field on a 50-50 joint venture without any right for Iran.
I believe that fostering better political interactions among the involved nations could have allowed all parties to reap the benefits of the Arash field more effectively. The strained relationship between Iran and Saudi Arabia negatively impacted the project's progress, ultimately leading to a partnership between Kuwait and Saudi Arabia that excluded the Islamic Republic of Iran. Improved diplomatic relations among the three countries might facilitate a more inclusive and mutually beneficial approach to the development of the Arash field.
The Islamic Republic has strongly objected to the agreement, with officials saying the move is illegal as the boundaries of the field shared between the three countries have not yet been established. Tehran has repeatedly called for a border demarcation agreement to determine its right to exploit part of the field.
The Arash field situation could pose a challenge to Iran's national integrity, and it necessitates a proactive and efficient collaboration among the involved countries. Establishing clear boundaries and fostering open communication can help mitigate such disputes. By working together and defining their respective territories, the involved parties can find a resolution that benefits all.
In March 2022, Saudi Arabia's energy minister signed a document with his Kuwaiti counterpart to develop the Arash Dora gas field to produce 1 billion standard cubic feet per day of gas and 84,000 barrels per day of condensates. Iran's Minister of Petroleum, Javad Oji, was quick to respond to his Saudi counterpart's announcement then, saying Tehran would soon begin drilling at the Arash field. Although we want to negotiate and cooperate for development of joint fields, unilateral measures will not prevent the implementation of the project, he said, after Kuwait and Saudi Arabia signed a document to build the offshore reservoir without Tehran's participation.
From March 2023 onwards, the debate over the Arash field has been under intense scrutiny. A joint committee comprising the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the Geography Organization of the Armed Forces, and the Ministry of Oil has been assigned to analyze various aspects of the issue. They have made a number of decisions so far.
The Ministry of Oil has explicitly stated its readiness for any potential outcomes. In a sense, Iran is ready to deliver a suitable response in the upcoming period if the opposing party insists on their current position.
There's plenty more to be said, but first a quick media review to give other outlets a chance to get a word in.
Hello everyone, welcome to the news section of this program. Here, we'll go over some important news headlines. Iran says a unilateral claim to Arash gas field will create no rights for claimants. Iran has repeatedly announced its principled stance on the issue based on international law, underlined Iran's foreign ministry spokesman, Nasser Kanani. Shana writes, the spokesman made the remarks during his weekly press conference in reaction to a statement issued by the Ministerial Council of the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council, which claims only Saudi Arabia and Kuwait have the right to exploit the field known as Al Dura in the two Arab states. We have emphasized the continuation of technical and legal talks with Kuwait officials, he pointed out. Unilateral claim on Arash gas field creates no rights for claimants, Iran says. Tehran Times writes, Iran has repeatedly announced its principled stance on the issue based on international law. The country tries to create a positive and constructive atmosphere to develop its relations with neighbors, refuting such issues in one-sided statements as not acceptable. Iran issues fresh warning against Kuwait over Arash gas field row. Iran says it believes in integrated and joint extraction with Kuwait and Saudi Arabia from the disputed Arash gas field in the Persian Gulf, warning Tehran will start drilling in the field if Kuwait does so. Iran News Daily writes, the Iranian Vice President for Legal Affairs, Mohammad Dehghan, reiterated on Thursday that the ownership dispute should be resolved through dialogue. Arash is an oil and gas field and part of it belongs to us. We do not have a maritime border with Kuwait, but we discovered the field and drilled rigs there many years ago without taking advantage of it. So, we won't create tensions with our neighbors, Dehghan clarified. The Arash gas field dispute, a thorny issue in Persian Gulf politics. RUVM Press writes, the Arash oil gas field serves as a poignant symbol of the intricate geopolitical dance unfolding among Iran, Kuwait, and Saudi Arabia. Over time, what began as a cooperative effort has degenerated into a contentious focal point, sparking debates surrounding resource distribution and territorial delineation. Nestled within this shared expanse lies the Arash gas field, boasting a substantial storage capacity of 1 trillion cubic feet alongside an estimated 42 million barrels of crude oil. Thank you for joining us in this section. I invite you to go back to the main narrative.
In last August, Tehran officially invited Kuwaiti Foreign Minister Salem Abdullah al-Jaber al-Sabah to de-escalate tensions.
It is important to highlight our strong connections with Kuwait. For instance, Iranians have had a significant presence in Kuwait for over a century. The people of both nations have enjoyed meaningful interactions over the years. Additionally, there have been numerous joint investments in both Iran and Kuwait. With the rest improvement in relations between Tehran and Riyadh, we aim to achieve a similar level of collaborative investment with Saudi Arabia. I believe that promoting cooperation rather than competition is the best way towards a brighter future.
However, the Supreme Council of the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council torpedoed de-escalation efforts at the end of its 44th summit in Doha, Qatar, claiming that the entirety of the Arash gas field lied within Kuwait's maritime territories. The council also said the ownership of natural resources in the submerged area adjacent to the Saudi-Kuwaiti divided area, including the entire gas field, is exclusively a joint ownership between Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. According to the statement, both have exclusive rights to exploit the natural resources in that area, adding, the council firmly rejected any claims of rights by any other party in this field or the submerged area adjacent to the demarcated area between Saudi Arabia and Kuwait.
Has there been any attempts to reach a deal?
تا اونجایی که من اطلاع دارم تا الان در حقیقت طرف کویتی و عربستانی نیست.
As far as I know, the Kuwaitis and Saudis have been insisting on their position. At the same time, delegations from Iran and Kuwait have been engaging in back-and-forth discussions, yet so far, no substantial agreement has been reached. I hope that both Kuwaitis and Saudis refrain from adopting more controversial positions to prevent escalating tensions among these three neighboring nations. I believe that direct negotiations would be beneficial.
The council statement came after both Saudi Arabia and Kuwait announced in July that there was no room for negotiations with Iran regarding the Arash Dora gas field in the Persian Gulf. That's while historical records of the past 60 years show no Saudi role in negotiations between Iran and Kuwait to determine the maritime borders around the Arash field and how to exploit its resources, meaning Riyadh's push to stake out a share has started only since 2000. In reaction to the statement issued by the Supreme Council of the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council, National Iranian Oil Company head Mohsen Khojasemir announced that Iran was ready to begin drilling in the Arash field. He said once the necessary conditions are met, drilling operations in the Arash field will begin.
Currently, we have 26 joint fields. What if we embark on a joint venture with Saudi and Kuwait companies? They can help us with our own fields, not just the joint ones. The private sector in Iran is open to foreign investment to enhance gas extraction from our own fields. With their support, we can convert gas into LNG and export it with added value. There is significant potential for collaboration in this aspect. If we manage the situation in Arash peacefully, we can consider expanding our cooperation further. After all, we have many projects in Iran worth hundreds of billions of dollars that our neighbors can take part as investors.
For years, Iran and Kuwait have held talks over their disputed maritime border area, practically with no success. Why has the dispute remained unresolved?
There are two approaches to addressing the Arash field ownership issue. According to Iran's proposed method, it should be considered a joint field for shared use among the involved countries. However, the Kuwaitis advocate for a second approach, which would result in the field being predominantly under their ownership. Unfortunately, there is no universally accepted method to resolve this dispute. I would like to draw your attention to this point. Politicizing the case could lead to negative consequences for all parties involved. We have witnessed the politicization of Iran's share in the Caspian Sea, which has turned the issue into a complex and challenging situation for everyone. To prevent a similar destiny for the Arash field, I would like to ask the Kuwaiti authorities to refrain from politicizing the matter.
Attempts to revive negotiations have failed. Kuwait's oil minister Saad al-Barak was quoted on July 27 as saying his country would begin drilling and production at the Arash gas field without waiting for a demarcation deal with Iran. This prompted Iran's oil minister to counter, saying Tehran may pursue work at the field without an agreement. Javad Oji said, Iran will pursue its rights and interests regarding exploitation and exploration of the field if there is no desire for understanding and cooperation. Is there any peaceful solutions to the dispute?
A potential solution to this dispute could involve finding an impartial mediator to facilitate negotiations between Iran and Kuwait. OPEC, with its Secretary General being from Kuwait, might not be the most suitable choice due to potential conflicts of interest. Alternative options for mediation could include the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, or the OIC, as they have experience in resolving international disputes. Another possibility is enlisting the help of influential individuals from both countries who could act as intermediaries. Another approach could be to assign a third party to develop the Arash field and distribute the profits fairly between Iran and Kuwait. This way, both sides can avoid the direct involvement in the development project so it could reduce tensions and foster a more cooperative atmosphere between the two nations.
The dispute between Iran and Kuwait over the Arash gas field is a complex and long-standing issue that has yet to be resolved. The competing claims, historical context, and strategic importance of the field make it a challenging matter for both countries to navigate. But the dispute for Iran is more than a row about an energy reserve. Iran shares 28 oil and gas fields with its neighbors, which constitutes the country's 20% of oil and 30% of gas reserves. And Arash is just one of them. What is at stake in the first place is the territorial integrity of the Islamic Republic. Tehran knows that a step backward might send wrong signals to the intruders. In a similar case like that of Arash, the United Arab Emirates has been laying claims of sovereignty on Iran's three islands of Greater Tom, Lesser Tom, and Abu Musa, which are located in the Persian Gulf. These three islands are of strategic importance due to their location in the Persian Gulf and their proximity to important shipping lanes. Despite all historical and legal documents that show they belong to Iran, Abu Dhabi still has claims over them. Iran will never give in to such baseless claims over its territory. Such claims will just lead to more tensions in the region already known for its volatility.
It is essential to maintain diplomatic language when discussing the Arash field ownership issue. Claiming that Iran has no share in the field is neither accurate nor politically correct. Historically, Iran discovered the Arash field in 1967, but chose not to unilaterally exploit it, recognizing it as a joint field. This decision demonstrates Iran's commitment to respecting the rights of other nations. When the field was discovered, Iran was the dominant power in the Persian Gulf, and it had the capability to seize control of the field as well as other fields without facing any serious objection, but the country never did that.
Over the past year, Iran has been dealing with the dispute over Arash with deference for the sake of a successful rapprochement deal with Riyadh. But any aggressive push by Kuwait and Saudi Arabia is not going to be tolerated for long in Tehran.
That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Till next time, take care.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم. Ramadan Kareem, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners all over the world listening to IRB English Radio right now. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem in the holy month of Ramadan. It's really, really emphasized, and it's also very valuable, okay, to recite the Quran Kareem more than before in the holy month of Ramadan. Yes, we really welcome you all, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, to our Quranic session. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 60, 61, and 62. Surah Al-A'raf on page 158. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, turn to page 158 of the Quran Kareem, Ayah 60, 61, and 62, Surah Al-A'raf. These three verses related to one another, so we will talk about them. What about listening to a recitation once?
Yes.
Do you agree?
Yes.
Yes. Let's listen to a recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قال الملأ من قومه إنا لنراك في ضلال مبين قال يا قوم ليس بي ضلالة ولكني رسول من رب العالمين أبلغكم رسالات ربي وأنصح لكم وأعلم من الله ما لا تعلمون.
That was a nice recitation, mashallah. So we hope you've enjoyed it. Yes?
Yes.
Alright. The first ayah, ayah 60, I want Hussein to read this once, then I'll explain it. Hussein? Would you please read it?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الملأ من قومه إنا لنراك في ضلال مبين
ما شاء الله next ayah move on
قال يا قوم ليس بي ضلالة ولكني رسول من رب العالمين.
And also the third ayah.
أبلغكم رسالات ربي وأنصح لكم وأعلم من الله ما لا تعلمون.
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. Nice recitation. God bless you, inshallah. قال الملأ من قومه Inna lanaraka fi dhalalin mubin. So, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, one of the Ulul Azm prophets. We have five Ulul Azm prophets, right?
Yes.
How many prophets overall we have?
100.
Nabi and Rasul all? Altogether?
124,000.
124,000 prophets. So, like 26 or 7 of them, the names, their names, have been mentioned in the Quran. Alright?
Yes.
So, Prophet Nuh, Hud, Harun, Musa, Isa, Lut, Adam alayhi salam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Ibrahim, Ishaq, Ismail, Yaqub, Yusuf, Shu'aib, yeah?
Ayyub.
Yes. So, and some other prophets. So they are mentioned, the names, their names are mentioned in the Quran, the rest of them not mentioned. So, now, from these 124,000 prophets, five of them are Ulul Azm prophets, Prophet Nuh,
yes.
Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, Prophet Musa, Prophet Isa, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Okay. قال الملأ من قومه إنا لنراك في ضلال مبين. In the previous ayah, we learned that Prophet Nuh alayhi salam was sent to his people.
People.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And what did Prophet Nuh alayhi salam say? يا قومي اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره. So now, what do the people say? Not all the people. You know that in the community, there are a group, there are certain groups of people that usually they have power. Yes? In the community. Yes or no?
Yes.
They are kind of influencers in the community. Yes?
Yeah.
Elders, sometimes we can say. So, قال الملأ. ملأ means the elite of his people, the elders. Or we can say the rich people of the community, or the influencers, those who were in power. They said to Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, look, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam was going to embrace the religion. And this religion was about to stop those people from like worldly things, from, for example, their evil desires. Okay, and when they saw that Prophet Nuh is going to, if we let him preach the religion, if we let him be in the community, if we let him teach the people, so we will no longer have our desires, our profits. Okay? That's why they quickly stood up against Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. They said, "Inna lanaraka fi dalalin mubin." Indeed, we see you in manifest error. You're in dalalat. You're in what? In darkness. What are you saying? Ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. We got a lot of gods. We don't need your one god. We have a lot of gods. So, listen. Qala. In terms of recitation, make sure you should pronounce this word with an A sound. How do you read it?
Qala.
Ahsan. Qala al-mala'u. Lal-mala'u. You ignore the Hamzatul Wasl. Mala'u. Min qawmihi. How do you read that?
If ikhfa. Yes.
How do you read it?
قال الملأ من قومه
أحسن من قومه again إشباعها الضمير
yes.
how important this point is
yes.
إشباعها الضمير means stretch the ها قومه إنا لنراك في ضلال مبين
قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's recite the Quran.
Hussein, tell us about this rule. Dalalin mubin. How do you read it?
It will become dalalin mubin.
Dalalin mubin.
Idgham.
Good job.
Yes.
So, idgham. Idgham with ghunna, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Next ayah. Qala ya qawmi laysa bi dalalatun walakinni rasulun min rabbil alamin. Look how kind Prophet Nuh alayhi salam is. And he, since he believes that what he does is right.
Right.
Okay? The exact thing. That's why he doesn't back down and he continues. He goes on. He said, O my people, I'm not in error. Rather, I am an apostle from the Lord of all the worlds. I'm a prophet of God. So, قال يا قومي ليس بي ضلالة تنوين and the word ولكني starts with واو تنوين plus واو
إضغام
we have the rule إضغام good
yes.
job how do you read it?
ضلالة ولكني
أحسن ضلالة ولكني نون مشدد
yes
stretch the sound Rasulun min Rabbil Alamin, one of the prophets. So Rasulun, tanween,
yeah,
plus meme,
plus meme. Rasulum,
Rasulum min Rabbil Alamin, mir Rabb. In both examples, you apply the rule idgham, but in one of them, idgham with ghunna, Rasulum, extend the sound, two counts. A nasal sound.
Nasal sound.
But min Rabbil Alameen. Do you read it this way? Rasulum min Rabbil Alameen. Do you read it that way?
No.
No. You just merge them. There is no extension, right?
Yes.
In the next ayah. Uballighukum. I communicate. I deliver. Risalati Rabbi. To you, the message of my Lord. أبلغكم رسالات ربي وأنصح لكم and I am your well-wisher أنصح
إخفاء
how do you read it Hussein?
أنصح
حسن how do you read it?
أنصح
أحسن أنصح لكم وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And I know from Allah what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So a lot of beautiful points are here in these three verses. You can refer to the Tafasir books. You can learn them. Now I will recite these three verses. Make sure, inshallah, you listen and repeat. There were no more important points about Tajweed rules. We mentioned them if there were any. So now I will recite. Make sure you repeat after me. Brothers and sisters, listen and repeat.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
قال الملأ من قومه إنا لنراك في ضلال مبين.
قال الملأ من قومه إنا لنراك في ضلال مبين.
قال يا قوم ليس بي ضلالة ولكني رسول من رب العالمين.
قال يا قوم ليس بي ضلالة ولكني رسول من رب العالمين.
أبلغكم رسالات ربي وأنصح لكم.
أبلغكم رسالات ربي وأنصح لكم.
وأعلم من الله ما لا تعلمون.
وأعلم من الله ما لا تعلمون.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters. Thank you for being with us till the end of this session. That's all from us for today. Ramadan Kareem. May Allah bless you all, inshallah. Brothers Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir, thanks for being with us. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Xavier International Schools Network for cooperations. See you in the next session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبي لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines: a senior UN official calls on governments to exert pressure